Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chatting with Michael Lardy of Great White today as they're going to be playing a show at the Buffalo Rose in Golden on Friday night. Michael, thanks for hanging out with us. Do you remember the very first time that you wanted to pursue music as a career?
I do. And it was, I believe, February 9th, 1964. That was the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. Yeah, my parents were actually grooming me to be a doctor, and I saw that, and then my whole world was turned upside down. So that was definitely a career path changing, life-changing moment to have seen them, you know, light up that television screen when I was all of 5 years old. And, you know, sometimes it was, you know, very much an epiphany. I just knew at that point that that was it.
So what was your next move after realizing that?
Well, you know, getting an aunt and an uncle of mine had picked me up an acoustic guitar, so I started to kind of sort of try to learn on my own, you know, and then I think I remember when I was about 8 getting my first electric guitar.
Oh, wow.
And that was pretty momentous. And then after that, they got me a couple of self-instruction books. But then, I really wanted to kind of get a little further along. So I started taking lessons when I was about 10. And then my folks made me stop when I was about 11 when they realized that I was just in there jamming with my teacher, since I wasn't learning, like, up, up, and away, you know? Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to be one of those guys that you know, could learn by ear. So that's kind of how I, you know, got into keyboards. You know, I was about 15. I thought, there's one in the house. Oh, I should sit down and learn it.
Well, I was going to say, so you're self-taught, which is very incredible, because, I mean, music is, you know, there's so many different combinations. And I read that you play guitar, bass, sitar, mandolin, piano, harmonica, and flute.
Yeah, flute probably being the least amount of things I play. But, you know, here and there, I've put a part on a record or two, and you know, it's been fun. I mean, for me, with the whole path of working with Great White all these years, it's always kind of like, could be different. What could be unusual to bring to the sound of the band? You know, I think about the song and I think, I wonder what it would be like if we tried this on that.
Very,
I mean,
cool.
Because originally, on Rock Me, there wasn't any intention to put any harmonica on it. So I just thought that that would be a cool idea to get that more of that bluesy, old-school thing to it. And, you know, fortunately, it ended up staying. And, you know, it's part of the sound of that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Which one was the hardest to learn?
Probably the mandolin, because it's a different tuning. It's like a tuning that's like for a violin or a cello. It has that kind of tuning, so your fingering has to be entirely different from what you've been used to playing on guitar all these years.
Do you remember the very first big show you ever played?
The biggest that I remember, I mean, obviously, you know, we did some great shows in 87 and 88 with Night Ranger, Twisted a little bit later that year, and then 10 and a half months with Whitesnake. That was a fantastic tour, but at the end of that tour, we did about 6 months of rock festivals in Europe, and the biggest one we played was in Schweinfurt, Germany, and that was 67,500. Yeah, when you stand up there playing, you can't see where the people end. That's when you realize the magnitude of that situation. Yeah, it's like how large something like that actually is.
What was going through your mind? Were you ever nervous at all, or were you just pretty much born for this?
I mean, I think, you know, you're up on the stage and you're playing, and you know, people that you know, as far as you can see, like, you know, arena size, 100 yards or so, are all, you know, rocking out pretty hard. So you're just under the assumption that the way the crowd is kind of moving, that they're all, you know, hearing and rocking out to what we're doing. So I think you just dig in and play, because then we have good monitor systems on stage. So, you know, and there's delay towers, so the people, you know, 500 yards away can hear it in real time.
You've probably, you know, noticed that younger generations are really getting into classic rock now. I mean, I was in an Uber the other day, and there was a 21-year-old guy who was just talking with me about the Rolling Stones the entire time. It was awesome. What's your take on that?
I totally love that. I was in New York a couple of years ago, and I remember walking down the street seeing this 14-year-old kid with a t-shirt on that said bass and drums, and it was an illustration of Paul and Ringo. Okay, cool. You know, the generation coming up is getting it. You know, I think what's starting to maybe wave back is that the new generation coming up is starting to connect with song composition. You know, like, what is a good song? You know, what makes me feel something? So hopefully, you know, that's something that the people and, you know, the kids will delve into and figure out. Well, you know, they had some thought behind what they were doing then, or that made me feel something like it made, you know, our parents feel or us feel when we were coming up.
And you guys have a new album out, Full Circle, came out in June. And for those who haven't picked it up yet, what can you tell us about it?
You know, as it always is with a Great White record, there is a diversity to it. You know, we have the blues element. Obviously, we have the rock element. We've got a couple of you know, ballads on there that are kind of up our alley. A couple of we got a tune on there. It's a riff bass song that's kind of in the realm of like a Mr. Bone thing. It's diverse, but at the same time, it's very familiar to a Great White fan that might have picked up Twice Shy. Mm-hmm. They would listen to Full Circle and go, yeah, that's the Great White I know.
I was going to say, how do you feel the music's kind of changed between the beginning to now? Or is it very similar or just different?
I mean, we've always tried to do a little bit of something on every record that kind of stretches out for us. On this one, it would be a song we did called Cry of a Nation, the plight of, you know, Native Americans. You know, it's just a thing that we connected with and have always connected with, as far as, you know, that it was something that was an atrocity in the history of America. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't try to get political in rock and roll, but sometimes it just kind of sneaks its way in. You know, as far as getting too far out from what our fans know about us and love about us, you know, I think we kind of always try to keep that in mind. You know, I don't think we'd want to, you know, ever see Great White doing anything that's hip-hop or rap.
You never know. We find out you're collaborating with Justin Bieber. We might have to have a talk.
I'd have to have a talk with myself. I have to kick my own butt.
You'd be like, no, we're not doing this. With the music industry changing to really involve more digital content and more social media, has that changed things at all with how you work with the band?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we've been doing records on Pro Tools since 2000.
Oh, yeah.
The first record I actually, you know, cut my teeth on working on Pro Tools was a unfortunately failed Reformation of the Damn Yankees.
Oh, okay.
We did a whole record, and but, you know, it was definitely a learning curve, but I learned so much. And, you know, from there, continued to, you know, just kind of wave over into the whole digital realm. The interesting thing about the digital realm is everybody sold all their gear thinking the dig thing was going to be the way to go, and end up finding out that you have to have a good front end. So everybody had to go buy all the old stuff again to put in, you know, after a microphone before it gets into the digital realm. So it's a good mixture. I mean, I think a lot of us who come up, you know, came up in the late 70s, 80s, you know, that what I would refer to as analog dogs have found a comfortable place between both technologies.
When you guys are on the road, I mean, I know you're really busy. Like you said, you've got, you know, just three shows coming up this weekend. But what do you guys do to kind of unwind and relax after you've played a show, or do you have time to do that?
Well, one of the things that we've always tried really hard to accomplish is, you know, as much as we love hanging out when we're on the road, we try to let each other's personal life be their personal life. And I think that's a big reason why we stayed together for almost 35 years. We have that respect for each other's space when we're not together. I know Mark plays pool. I golf when I can. But a lot of times when I'm home, I'm working in my studio on something new, you know, because I'm always thinking, okay, what's the next thing we're going to do?
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Forward momentum. I mean, that's how you stay relevant for so long.
Well, that is the hope.
You guys are playing at the Buffalo Rose in Golden on Friday night. Are there any fun surprises or things we can expect?
Well, yeah, one of the things I was told is they're actually, after our show, they're closing the venue down for a little while to refurb it a bit. And So it's fun to be playing one of the last shows, if not the last show, for a while at the Rose. But this, one of the cool things about this show is, you remember MTV Unplugged?
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of doing it like that, where it's still got real drums, you know, it's still got, you know, drive and force behind it, but there is some sonic change by basing it around the two acoustic guitars. So it's really pretty cool. We don't get to do these very often, but we really enjoy it. So it's still rock, but it's just a different look for Great White.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's cool. You're going to play Once Bitten, Twice Shy, right?
I don't think we could get out of the building if we did.
They would definitely be a little upset. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Michael, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. We're looking forward to the show. I'm sure it's going to be awesome, and we're looking forward to having you here in our lovely city.
Well, we look forward to coming to the Denver Metro all the time. We've played shows from Bangles all the way up to Red Rock, so we love it there.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, please have a safe trip. Get here safely, and have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You as well. Thanks so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.